This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, and it is such a great, glorious Monday. Aren't you excited to start the work week? I know I am. I mean, I know we're already one day done with it, actually. We had a big peace meeting today. Obviously, we'll talk about that quite a bit tonight to open up the show. Then we're moving on. We have to go all kinds of different places. James Comey, he put out a piece of video that's gives me the willies just thinking about it. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about flying bombers over the heads of foreign heads of state. They're still trying to eliminate your food supply. Why they're going after the Girl Scouts. Karen Bass got a little too honest. We'll chop through a bunch of emails. Democrats remain evil. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And of course, an hour from now is Medal of Honor Monday, and that's always a good time. Now, before we get there to the rest of the show, let's go ahead and tackle the big news of the day. Trump meets at the White House with Zelensky. You remember last week, Donald Trump flew to Alaska, Vladimir Putin flew to Alaska, they had the big meeting, it went okay. Today, Zelensky meets Trump at the White House. It does okay. It went fine. Now, I need to clarify where I'm at here before we keep going, because here's what's going on. There are four different entities involved in all this. Four. Not one. Four. And there are four different motivations. There's the United States of America. There are European powers outside of Ukraine. There's Ukraine. And then there's Russia. What has happened is, and this is just how it always goes when it comes to war, especially when wars expand. What has happened is, over the years this war has gone on, those four entities have settled in. I'll put it that way. They've settled in. I'm not saying everyone's thrilled, but everyone has kind of gotten used to this being the way it is. It's what happens during wars. Yes, countries wear down and they get fatigued and they want things to end. There's no question about that. But here's the problem, and this is going to be a big point of concern tonight. The problem is, the people making the decision to end it or continue it are not necessarily people who have suffered from it on any side. And this is what makes war so, so terrible. It's why I've yelled over and over and over again that I have a huge problem sending a country off to war, if you're a leader of that country, if you or someone you know close to you is not physically in danger. I don't mean you're a U.S. senator and you vote to send in the troops and your son chooses a job sorting through the mail back at a perfectly safe base in a war zone. I mean you're out beyond the wire with bullets getting shot at you. That makes you invested. This is the problem with the way the world is structured now. That is not the way leaders of nations think anymore. Wars are for the poor. Wars are for other people. I am too important. I don't need to do anything. My family, we matter too much. We're too important. We have a lot of money. We won't go. That is devastating. So let's look at the four different entities in the United States of America. Let's start right here at home. In the United States of America, the defense industry itself is enormous. Remember when Donald Trump announced $1 trillion budget for the military this year? You know how unbelievably over the top that is? Not just compared to other countries around the world today, adjusting for inflation and all that, how way over the top that is historically. But what's that $1 trillion go to? It's not all soldier pay and better base housing. Now, is it? The $1 trillion, it gets filtered to a lot of different places. They take it from me, they take it from you, and it goes to the defense industry. The defense industry will wash a bunch of it and send it right back to the politicians. So if you're an American politician, let's say you're Lindsey Graham, and you just left the Thunder from Down Under concert, what is your motivation to end it? Lindsey Graham is out there all the time, every other day, giving a speech about how Putin's a war criminal and I want this thing to go on forever. And okay, like, I got all that. Who do you know who's going to die in that war, Lindsey? Nobody. What does it hurt Lindsey if that war continues until every Russian and every Ukrainian is dead? What does it hurt him? Not one teensy weensy little bit. He's an elected senator from the state of South Carolina, takes in gobs of defense industry money. In Lindsey's mind, why not send it on forever? I'm not personally at risk. Okay, so you get that. That's the American side of it. The European side of it, speaking of having, quote, settled in, what month is it? August. I know we're all suffering because summer sucks. It does suck, Chris. August sucks. Summer sucks. It's miserable and it's hot. But winter comes. Winter comes every year. Guess who has destroyed their own energy sector because of their insane climate commie policies? Europe. Europe has destroyed their energy sector. If you want an eye-popping stat, go look at the energy bills, the bills for energy consumption normal people pay in European countries. I'm sure you complain about your power bill just like I complain about my power bill. I'm officially the old man yelling at his kids all the time about turning the lights off in the house and not leaving the door open in the summertime. We're not cooling the outside. I actually yelled that at my youngest son yesterday, so I'm that guy. You're mad about your power bill? I'm mad about mine. It's pennies on the dollar compared to what they pay in Europe because they went to all windmills and solar panels and a bunch of crap that don't work. Well, if you don't want people freezing to death in their homes, they still need power. So if you're Europe, how can you get such power? Cheap Russian gas. In part, why is Russian gas so cheap? Because of the war. So if you're, let's say you're one of the leaders of Germany, France, one of these political leader types. Well, you have air conditioning. You have central heat. You're eating steaks. You're flying on private jets, five-star hotels, nice suits. And probably more importantly, your children, they're bouncing around the world on yachts. They go to America for the university and then off to Oxford for a couple days. There's no bombs, no bullets, no knives, no nothing, no drones coming for your children. If you're European royalty, I'll just put it that way, what is your motivation to end it? What is your motivation to end it? Now, that's two entities. Let's talk about Russia. Russia, their economy sucks. Did you know that? They just don't have, for their size, a lot of natural resources. They're completely mismanaged because they're run by a tyrant named Vladimir Putin. And then there's no such thing as a centrally planned economy that runs well. You can't do it. And so their young people, legions and legions of them, are facing a stagnant job market, to put it mildly. You know what's a great thing to do when people are unhappy? Focus their effort and their rage on something else. It doesn't hurt Vladimir Putin to send legions of angry young Russian men to the front lines. Vladimir Putin, from what we understand, remember you're always going to face lies, has a pretty solid foothold on power in Russia. He's not under threat. He's managed to kill virtually everybody who may kick him out. And Vladimir Putin is winning. Remember, he wanted parts of Ukraine. He wanted the Crimean Peninsula. He wanted these parts of Ukraine, eastern Ukraine. Right now, he holds about 15% of Ukraine. It's the 15% he wanted. 3 years, nobody's been able to get him out of it. Why does he want it to stop? We'll finish with Ukraine and we'll continue on with what happened today, and we'll move on to other things. Before we do that, let's do something wonderful for our pets. We don't think about getting our pets nutrition because we think their nutrition is in the food we buy them. Our dogs and our cats especially. We think we go into the pet store, we buy the special blend. You get the best pet food you can afford, don't you? Maybe you can't afford much, maybe you can afford the best, but you get the best stuff you can afford. And you think because you paid as much as you could, you're getting better food. You got a special blend. There's nothing special. Is your dog food brown? Then it sucks. If your dog's food is brown, then it's dead. It doesn't matter how much you paid for it, a lot or a little. Dead things are brown. They killed everything in it. Sprinkle Rough Greens on your dog's food. Don't you need vitamins and minerals and omega oils and antioxidants? And don't you see physical differences in yourself when you're eating well versus fast food every meal? Your dog eats fast food every meal. You wonder why they die at 10 years old. Sprinkle Rough Greens, America's number one dog supplement, on your dog's food. They have Meow Greens for cats. Go to roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse, or call 214-ROUGH-DOG. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Going to be Medal of Honor Monday about 45 minutes from now. Right now we're digging into kind of a little bit of the background, the four different entities who have an interest in this Russia-Ukraine war, America, Europe, Ukraine, and Russia itself. Let's talk about Ukraine. We already covered Russia, Europe, America, Ukraine. Remember, we're not necessarily talking about the people, you and me, normal people. We're talking about the leaders of these nations. What are their motivations? Do they want things to continue? Do they want things to end? Zelensky himself. Does Zelensky want it to end? I don't know. By the way, I don't know. I don't know what's in his heart. Maybe he is a tried and true patriot who loves his country. He wants peace. He wants what's best for his people. Maybe that's it. But did you know who Zelensky was before Russia invaded? Everybody knows who I'm talking about now. World famous. A millionaire several times over. On the cover of magazines. More world famous than you or I will ever be. Has the war been bad for Zelensky? He just came to Washington, D.C. Let me ask you something. Think he flew Southwest like you did? Think he was sitting there, I hope I get the emergency exit seats. Obviously, I understand he's a head of state, but has it been bad for him? What happens when the war ends? Trump brought up, you know, elections today, to his credit.
So you say during the war you can't have elections. So let me just say 3.5 years from now. So you mean if we happen to be in a war with somebody, no more elections? Oh, that's good. I wonder.
Obviously, he's making a joke. This is what Zelensky said.
Are you open to holding an election in your country?
Yes, of course. We are open for election, yes. We have to do safety circumstances. And a little bit, we need to work in the parliament. Because during the war, you can't have elections. But we can do.
During a war, you can't have elections. What's he talking about? It's part of the disastrous Ukrainian constitution that once martial law has been declared, you can't have elections. Well, that begs the question, who declared martial law? Zelensky. Zelensky declared martial law. Now, let me clarify. It's understandable why he would declare martial law. Russia is bombing Ukrainian civilians repeatedly, and so you declare martial law so you can keep people off the streets and whatnot, but it still comes back to the fact that Zelensky declared martial law, and now that gives him the freedom to say, hey, we have martial law. I'm not allowed to have elections. But what would happen if they did? And let me clarify. Why do I call Putin a tyrant? Why is he a tyrant? I believe in the freedom of man. I believe man should be free to choose who leads him. That's what I believe. I do not believe in being a subject or a slave or a servant. I believe all men, should be able to choose their leadership. Vladimir Putin is a tyrant because he arrests, imprisons, and let's be honest, kills his political opponents, thus taking away the choice from the Russian people if they want someone different. He's taken away that choice from them. Now, Zelensky, why do the people of Ukraine not get a choice in who leads their country? They're the ones dying. Legions of men dying. Conscripts being snatched off the streets, sent to the front lines and being shot in the face. Mothers losing their sons. Wives losing their husbands. Children without dad. I understand they've been invaded and there's a war. Even during a war, in fact, I would argue during a war is the most important time to have an election, because that's when the people get to choose who is leading them. Are they satisfied or dissatisfied with the people leading them? When you suspend elections, can't have an election. I'm going to have to stay president. It raises suspicions. Suspicions about whether or not you actually want the war to end. If the war ends, martial law ends. If martial law ends, it's time to have elections. If it's time to have elections, maybe you're not President Zelensky anymore. Maybe you're just a former head of state facing corruption charges. Do the four entities involved here want it to end? And here's the rub. The answer to that question has to be yes for all four in order for it to end. If even you could argue maybe Europe could be cut out, but that's hard to believe. But if even one of the four says, you know what? No, I want to keep going. Well, remember what we say. One country can start a war, but all the parties involved have to say yes to end it. If there's even one no, the war continues. It's ugly. We'll do a couple more things on this, then we'll move on. I don't want to talk friggin' Russia, Ukraine all day. This foreign policy stuff bores me sometimes. I like to talk about America. That's why I like to talk about Pure Talk, baby. The company that hires Americans. American jobs, hire American. We love saying that. Well, let me ask you, do you put your money where your morals are? Do you seek out the companies that do such things? Does Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile prioritize American jobs? The corporate world. We're about to dig into the filth, the communist filth in the corporate world here in just a little bit. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile chose a side in this culture war. Are you funding their side? Pure Talk has never fought against you, fought against your culture, your country. Pure Talk shares and promotes your values. Go give them your business and you'll pay less. And they're on the same 5G network, so I'm not asking you to sacrifice service. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, a Medal of Honor Monday, which comes a half hour from now. Just do a couple more things on this, and then we're going to move on to discuss other things. So Jewish producer Chris has money on his mind. I guess we shouldn't be shocked. But he asked during the break, he said, there's a lot of money in war, isn't it? Well, this is the problem, and this comes back to what I discussed and have discussed many times before, that leaders who make the decision to march off to war should always either be in physical danger themselves or have loved ones close to them in physical danger. And I'm not saying that because I want anybody hurt, that I want any leader hurt, or I want any loved ones hurt. But if you insulate you and yours from any physical danger, then war is only good for leaders. Did you realize that there's no better way historically to make your popularity go up than by marching your country off to war? It does not make you unpopular. It makes you very popular. It fills the people with national pride, with patriotism. And you know what else it allows you to do? It allows you to point to anybody who's your political opponent and make them an enemy of the state. Hey, he's against me. He's against America. That's what it allows you to do. Leaders have always done this. So without any physical danger for you, your wife, your kids, your uncle, without any physical danger for them, why wouldn't you love war? If you're a soulless monster without a heart for the people, who cares how many people die? The only demotivating factor to continue wars is your son might be next. That makes you a little bit more invested, doesn't it? Quite a bit more invested. And it tells you this. Look, I have two sons. If I'm the leader of America, which we all know is never going to happen, if I'm the leader of America and I say, we have to go to war with China. Okay, maybe you're looking at me a little skeptically. How much do you believe in that? Well, I'm sending James and Luke to the front lines. Now you know I believe in it all the way. If, you know, we'd go the Romney route and none of them managed to find a military recruitment office while pushing for war everywhere, tells you I don't think it's that important. I'm willing to sacrifice your sons, just not mine. Well, that's very brave. That's very brave. Now, I don't want to poo-poo the entire thing at all. I'm really not trying to do that. I remain extremely skeptical. But the meeting with Putin apparently went well. The meeting with Zelensky today went well. The meeting he had, that big roundtable, you saw it earlier with all the European leaders. This is a few hours ago. Apparently went very well. They were all lovey-dovey. It looks like we're marching towards what could be an end to it. If there's going to be a date, we'll call it Monday. It won't be a week from now, trust me, but we'll call it Monday. If there's going to be a date where there is an end to the fighting, then what has already happened, those would be the steps you would take to get to that day on Monday. Meet with Putin, come to an agreement. Meet with Zelensky, come to an agreement. Europe signs on board. Again, you've got all four entities in the room. It's just an ugly state of affairs, and we will see what happens. I compliment Donald Trump endlessly for trying to end it. I will always despise Boris Johnson of the UK, who is largely responsible for this entire thing. He is the one who told Zelensky that he could defeat the Russians. He's the one who really convinced the West to pour their heart and soul into this. Now, so many Ukrainian and Russians are dead because of that horrible lie. In the meantime, Boris Johnson's getting fat somewhere, fat and happy and living the life of a king after having pushed the death of about 1.2 million people from estimates so far. No matter what, we are where we are now. One thing that we should keep in mind from now on, and then we're moving on, is the devil's in the details, right? It's always in the details. Getting a divorce can sound wonderful when he's a nightmare, or she's a nightmare, it's a nightmare. We're getting a divorce. We've both agreed to get a divorce. We're going to meet. We're going to work things out, but we are getting a divorce. We've agreed. Okay. Sounds good. Wait a minute. You can't have the dog. I want the dog. The devil's in the details. Maybe you've heard this term thrown about quite a bit by people who never expand on it. The term being security guarantee.
What security guarantees do you need from President Trump to be able to make a deal? Is it American troops, intelligent equipment? What is it?
everything. And I really,
what security guarantees do you need? Oh, everything. Security guarantees. Okay? Donald Trump is going to have to offer, if he wants to be the one who brokers the end to this war, and clearly that's what he wants, he is going to have to offer Zelensky protection in exchange for the land that Zelensky will lose. Or I shouldn't say will lose. We need to be clear about this. Has lost. We keep speaking in terms of Zelensky will have to give up this, we'll have to give up that. He doesn't have to give up anything. He's already lost it. Putin owns it. He took it by force. And I know we all want to live in this world where the age of conquest is over. The strong armies conquering weaker armies. Strong nations taking territory they want from weaker nations. We're past all that. We'll never be past all that. That's the nature of man. Putin, because he's Putin, marched his big Russian army in there and he took what he wanted. Now, what's going to be asked is not for Zelensky to give up land. What's going to be asked is that Putin give up land. Putin is going to be asked to give up land that he has taken by force. What motivation does he have? Well, he's going to say no NATO membership. They've said that today. Ukraine doesn't get to join NATO. He's never going to agree to that. Then why would Zelensky? Security guarantees. But what does that mean? That probably means American troops. Here's this.
Are you prepared to keep sending Ukrainian troops to their deaths for another couple years, or are you going to agree to redraw the maps?
Thank you for your question. So, first of all, you know, we live under each day.
He doesn't have those troops, so we'll need ours. I'm not saying sending them to fight, but that means American bases, or at least an American base and a significant one in Ukraine. Missiles. What missiles and missile defense systems are we going to want to bring into Ukraine? And what is Russia going to be okay with? Remember this, and don't say, I don't care. Don't ever say that about any entity. All four entities are going to have a say, and they all four are going to have to say yes. And Putin, hate him all you want, Putin is going to have veto power on this whole peace agreement thing because he's the one still fighting the war. So don't just say we'll give them everything, because at some point in time, Putin's going to be all, you're not putting that on my border. No, we'll keep fighting. I am skeptical. Obviously, as you can tell, I am skeptical. But we should be happy. We should be happy. Well, it was Trump.
Your team has talked about security guarantees. Could that involve U.S. troops? Would you rule that out in the future?
We'll let you know that maybe later today. We're meeting with seven great leaders of great countries also, and we'll be talking about that. They'll all be involved, but there'll be a lot of help. When it comes to security, there's going to be a lot of help. It's going to be good. They are first line of defense because they're there. They're Europe. But we're going to help them out also. We'll be involved.
I don't expect Donald Trump to spill the beans on the details. He can't do that, especially not with our evil media. But the devil's in the details. Whatever. Let's hope they work it all out. Now, I'm done talking about all this stuff. I want to move on to other things. Before we do that, let's talk about saving a baby. Let's save a baby's life. We just talked about enough death. It's horrible, isn't it? Over a million lives lost. Friggin' horrible. What if we could save one life tonight? All over the United States of America, babies are still killed in mass, thousands a day. And in these blue states, it's legal. You can do it. And it's easier than it's ever been because of the pill. Did you know you can do a telehealth meeting and the doctor will send a pill to your house? These young girls are aborting their babies in their bathroom. Help preborn save that baby and its mother from a lifetime of anguish. Give that mom a free ultrasound so she can make the right choice. There is no greater tool. and preborn is tax deductible. Everyone's looking for that write-off at the end of the year. Whatever you give to preborn, tax deductible. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. Emails next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, if you'd like to email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, your questions for Friday, all those can be emailed into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I should touch on, look, I didn't bring it up because I don't care, but we flew a bomber over Vladimir Putin in Alaska when Trump met Putin. I'm sure you've already seen it. We flew a bomber overhead. And of course, some people were drooling all over. That's the greatest thing ever. Woo! And some, well, this was CBS. Here's how they handled it.
Although it was presented as perhaps a show of power by being at a U.S. Air Force base with the flight passing of the B-52s and other fighter jets, it did certainly look much more like a show of appreciation for Vladimir Putin. And so the optics were really much more favorable to Putin than they were to the United States. It really looked like...
Yeah, look... I don't think that intimidated Vladimir Putin. He's well aware of America's bomber capability. It was cool to watch it. And it is one of those standard shows of force that militaries have always used, Alexander the Great used to march his army around in front of his enemies, giving them strict orders, because it's intimidating to watch groups of men march in time, do the exact same thing. It's intimidating. At the end of World War II, you know this story I told you before, on the USS Missouri, when the Japanese came to sign their surrender documents, we not only chose the tallest Marines and sailors we could find to stand around them, so we were towering over them, we took our B-29 Superfortresses and flew tons and tons of them overhead as they were signing the documents. And remember, that may not mean anything to you or me. Those people, the Japanese people on that ship, the B-29 was Godzilla. The B-29 was the plane that leveled virtually every major Japanese city. They lived in terror of those things. So I got it. It was done. I got it. Whatever. Let's do some emails. Dear Bronco, my great-grandfather was a bar gunner in Patton's Third Army. Gosh, that's cool. During the Allied drive across Europe, he was highly conservative and an activist, but somehow both his kids turned out to be Democrats. They would complain that he was embarrassing the family when he wrote letters to the editor about Obama when he fell and was sent to the hospital shortly before he died in 2015. The nurse tried to check his cognitive state by asking him who the president was. He retorted, "We don't have one." His wife explained that he was just fine. Would you fire the bar for great pop? You bet I would. Saddens me we're losing those old timers. Jesse, I was cleaning up the garage and came across an old newspaper from April 2020. It was all about George Floyd and all the riots and how many people were dying from COVID-19. It just made me very sad about how messed up we are. And we're forced to believe the complete media scam. It's fine to lament what happened during that time. But I do. It's fine to lament that. But remember that it wasn't that COVID or the George Floyd stuff caused us to lose our minds. It was that COVID and the George Floyd stuff revealed that we already had. You know, it's like if you get up from your desk and you walk 20 feet across the hall and you're out of breath from that 20 feet, it wasn't the walk that got you out of shape. You're out of shape. The walk revealed that you're out of shape. It's a revelation, but that revelation can save your life, can't it? You walk to the kitchen and you're out of breath. Brother, you better start working out. You better start going on more walks. You better start eating less. That's your body saying, I'm dying here. It showed who we are as a country, that we could succumb to media propaganda that easily. It showed who we are now as a country, that we would succumb to tyranny that easily. And it showed who the GOP is. Remember, we like to imagine, because Democrats are evil, demonic communists, we like to imagine the GOP is the opposite, right? They're the good, they're the bad guys, we're the good guys. But elected Republican after elected Republican after elected Republican went right along with what the system was saying during COVID. Very, very few had the guts to stand up and say, no, no, that's wrong. No, this is a free country. No, we're not going to shut this down. We're not going to shut that down. We're not going to do this. Very, very few of our air fingers, quote, leaders proved to be so. What it showed us was politicians, most people in the media, and several others are sheep. They're followers. They don't want to be yelled at. They don't want to buck the trends. They want to say what everyone else is saying because it's safe and it's nice and easy. And I know that hurts to look back on that, but I will emphasize again that COVID for me was the great sorting. I sifted and sorted through the people in my life. That's people in my personal life, people who I pay attention to, maybe people I read or watch or listen to, politicians. COVID showed you who people were. It showed you who people really were. How many people, we'll set politicians aside, how many people in the right-wing media sphere, podcast and radio and TV and things like that, sit here behind the microphone every day and talk to you about freedom this and freedom that and freedom, 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 freedom this, freedom that. You make sure you're free. Why aren't you taking a shot? All the doctors agree. Hey, go home and shut down your business. It's just 2 weeks. Quit being selfish. How many freedom lovers turned out to hate it when it got real, real convenient? Something to keep in mind. Showed you what people really believed. Yeah, good point, Chris. It was a little lonely around here in about April of 2020. All right, enough of this. Let's do Medal of Honor Monday. We'll make fun of James Comey. I don't know that I've been this creeped out very many times.